to be hardcore, you want to be extreme, well, if you're like the Sandman, then you're listening to the podcast Drunk Wrestling History, dudes. And please be drunk when you hear it.
I kept Kleenex in business in the late 90s.
Mike Awesome might have fucked Tanaka's wife.
But just say no to this pay-per-view.
Wait, were you making a death joke?
Told you we should have gone to the donkey show.
Stop choking yourself.
It's either death or defecation.
Woo! Okay, and I am recording, and I'm going to count down from five right now. Oops. Oh, shit. Whatever. Go ahead. I'll cut that out.
That's a solid open.
Get it together, Adam.
I'm trying to. Just so you know, that's a brand new intro that we're debuting on our new season of the Drunk Wrestling History. I can't get over it right now.
Or defecation.
It's not just...
It's a strong lead-in.
It's not just a new intro. You guys have never heard it.
No.
So to let everybody in on what's going on, I made the new intro 2 weeks ago or so, and I've been kind of teasing it to both of you. I told you that it was going to be clips of us instead of clips of wrestlers, but nope, neither of you have heard it until right now.
Not at
first
all.
Time. I wanted you to hear it right now on this episode.
Donkey show.
And Adam, do you want to explain why?
Because this is our...
Adam's all fucked up.
You fumbled him.
I'm trying to. I mean, when you start with a new season with death and defecation.
And the donkey show.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Drunk Marks, Drunk Marquettes as well. Mm. New season. I want to try something new. Welcome to our 1 year anniversary episode of Drunk Wrestling History. We made it to one fucking year. Thank you to all of you for letting us go this long, putting up with us this long. We are happy to provide all of the drunken wrestling celebrations and entertainment to your airwaves, wherever you download it. Thank you so much. As you've now known for one season, my name is Adam. I'm designated to be your host for this drunken adventurous show. We got plenty of drinks. We got wrestling figures around. We also got some treats that I've been chowing down, or that we've all been chowing down. But in the meantime, what makes the show go around are the drunk wrestling historians.
This is Eddie. Step off. I'm doing the hump.
And this is Scott, educating the masses one drink at a time.
All right. Man, 1 year. Also, for context, I think it was about maybe announced a month and a half ago. On Comedy Central, Drunk History got the boot after six seasons.
So sad.
We're one-sixth of the way to that goal.
Six more seasons and we beat them.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. We almost have probably two seasons worth of episodes.
Oh, definitely.
Right. Because
they only go a portion at a time.
Yeah.
Right.
So on the episode count, we're well on the way. But
absolutely.
And season wise, we're coming for you. Also with our 1 year anniversary episode, we got some
a special drink.
Special drink going on. It looks different, but you might have bottled something.
No, this is not my beer.
Okay.
No. For any longtime listeners of the show, we've started our first episode drinking a bottle of my favorite beer in the world, Rickard's Red, out of Canada. I picked up I was in Toronto for SummerSlam last year. I picked up a 12-pack. These are the last two bottles of it. I've been saving them for our anniversary show. So that Scott and I are both drinking that. So
cheers.
Salud.
Well, hi. In the meantime, I got some Premium Fitz's Pumpkin Pop. It's from the Midwest, so you got to say pop. Over the desk.
Shit.
Oh, my God.
Keep talking about your pap. I'm going to go get some paper towels.
It's still carbonated after a year.
Hey, that's a great shout out for Rickard's Red. Make sure if you make your way to Canada safely, grab a pack or two.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about how Ed smuggled that back into the United States. 12 bottles, man. That's a lot to pack in there.
That's dedication.
Yeah. There was only room for one more, but they come in 12s.
And it took and it took an entire season to blow the load. All right.
Yeah, and I just blew it all over the table,
all over the table.
Dropping loads. Equipment is fine. Bobby the Brain, he's well distance away from it. So
yeah, the weasel suit is safe.
It is.
Throughout the season, we've been telling you, head over to whatamaneuver.net, get some Drunk Wrestling History shirts to look the part and talk the talk. For on-demand printing, really great material. Make sure that you head over there. There's also tank tops, onesies to get the little drunk marks started, and also hooded sweatshirts, especially this time of season, starting to get colder around winter season. Head over to whatamaneuver.net.
I got to get one of those hoodies.
And let's see what else. We also,
you, Scott, you should bootleg a hoodie.
I'll be happy to.
Yeah.
I mean, in what, the first video conference episode that we had?
Yeah, right. bootleg tank top.
He was in a bootleg tank top. Yeah.
Right.
It was awesome.
Great designs.
I'm not afraid of the swap.
Way to contribute to the show.
That's how I do it.
Also, we have a few shout outs that we want to give out.
Yeah, just a quick, well, it's not just shout outs, it's a few show notes. So the first one, this is the big one. Our friend who wins all of our giveaways, Jeff. Jeff, it's Verbal Soze, at Verbal Soze, right? That's the whole Twitter handle.
Soze.
Jeff,
yes.
At Verbal Soze just got engaged.
Congratulations, dude.
By the time you're hearing this, Jeff, it's a couple weeks after, because we're recording this on the weekend after you announced that, but it's not going to air for a few more weeks. But just want to say congratulations to you and your fiance. That's fucking awesome. I'm so happy for you guys. Mazel tov.
Hey, let's cheers to Jeff.
Salud.
Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers. A couple other quick show notes. You guys check out the Baker and Bane show. Breaker and Bane show. It's always so hard for me to say that.
Bane got COVID.
No. Is he okay?
He's okay. He quarantined. He's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, he's recovering well.
Wow.
Yeah, but he got it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit, that's.
Happy he's better.
Yeah, totally. Okay, yeah, well. Thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely, yeah. Seems to have got him through. Thoughts and prayers actually worked for once.
Look at that. But you guys check their show out. I imagine most people who listen to this listen to them anyway, because I think we've mostly poached listeners from Bully Postable.
That's how we do it. Yeah, you borrow.
Right. Borrowed.
Yeah,
but
one big recycled pool. But great guys.
Right. It's one of the only other podcasts. Like, I listen to a couple of the big stars podcasts, but that's one of the only other ones I listen to. They do a great show. So I just want to put that out there. I also want to give props to a guy called the Rev E Hoops on Twitter. That's his name. It is his handle is at the Rev E Hoops. I don't know what that means.
You know him? I actually bought some G.I. Joe figures off of him.
Okay. So when I was, it was during, I think, the last NXT pay-per-view, I was drinking a bottle of my Velveteen Cream Ale.
Right.
And I tweeted it. I said something like, I'm drinking the Velveteen Cream Ale. And he responded and said, it's aged to 16 years to Velveteen's perfection.
Holy hell.
So that was my tweet of the month,
solid,
if you will. Yeah,
solid.
That was a good one.
Revy is a great dude.
Okay. Also, we have recently gotten listeners in Sweden and Brazil.
Very nice.
They might only listen to this once, so they might never hear this. But hello, Sweden and Brazil. Thank you for checking out the show.
Welcome.
And the other big note before we get into it, like we said, it's the one-year anniversary. Oh, wait, one more thing. I want to dedicate our one-year anniversary show to the great Eddie Van Halen.
Yes.
Right? That was a huge loss for, I don't know about you, Adam. I don't know how much you care about Van Halen, but I'm a huge Van Halen fan. I know Scott grew up listening to him.
No, I definitely know that there's significant impact as music lives on.
Yeah.
Definitely so.
And any Van Halen fans, check out the Rock and Wrestling podcast. They did a killer tribute to the dude. It was a really good episode.
Favorite Van Halen record?
What's that?
Favorite Van Halen record?
For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
What was your first Van Halen record?
Probably 1984. I think I had that when I was a little kid.
Okay, that was mine.
Yeah.
That was the first Van Halen record that I actually bought. Still to this day, my favorite.
Yeah.
I would think their debut album would be my second favorite.
Okay.
But yeah, For Unlawful is legendary. But I'm more of a Van Halen than Van Hagar guy.
Right.
So I lean more towards the Roth eras than the Hagar eras.
Yeah,
so.
That's fair. I mean, most people do.
Well, the old schools, they're more Roth than Hagar.
I just, for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge was always my favorite because every song was good. Kind of all their albums.
It's a legendary album.
Yeah, the
sure.
rest of their albums, there was always at least one song that was meh.
Right.
You know, if CDs had been invented, you would have skipped it.
Right.
But for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, didn't have any of that.
Right. And Crystal Pepsi borrowed their song.
That's true.
Yeah. And we all would know what happened to Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. It went the way of Crystal Gravy.
Exactly. And Surge.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love Surge.
So the one last thing is, and this is actually really perfectly timed. So this is our 1 year anniversary show. This week we got 5,000 total downloads, which is crazy, especially because we've been bi-monthly for the last like 7 months.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you, COVID.
Yeah. It was only the first few months that we're doing weekly shows. So we've only done like 35 shows, or this is, yeah, I think this would be like episode 34, 35.
Right.
So, I mean, to get that many downloads in that amount of time is like mind blowing to me. Like, yeah. I don't think I would have ever thought we'd get that many. So thank you to everybody who downloads the show.
Well, hey, cheers to us and the listeners.
Cheers to us
and
the listeners.
Thank you for 5,000.
Absolutely. Yeah. You guys are awesome. Keep it up. We hope we keep entertaining you and, you know, keep tweeting, you know, retweeting us. You guys really help us out. Especially you guys who've left iTunes reviews. You guys are fucking awesome. And thanks, Adam, guys. It's time to get to the show.
Let's do this in honor of one year of drunken wrestling history. All about a variety of wrestlers tonight or today's, whenever you listen to this. This is dedicated to the greatest drunks. Got a list here compiled by Scott and Eddie. Looked up a few notes just to intro them, but we'll go over what kind of drunken atmosphere these particular wrestlers are known for, whether it was inside the ring or outside of the ring.
I hope mostly outside the ring.
Well, somewhere inside.
Well, there are a couple of them that I didn't get into, but maybe you did.
Maybe I did.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe they're on my list.
So to set this up, I made a list. Scott made a list. We both, the way we typically do these list shows is we both send our list to Adam. We don't see each other, so we don't know what's coming up. And Adam sometimes adds some of his in there, too. So,
yep.
So he's going to run down the list for us.
Here we go. Let's start it off. Andre the Giant. I think the only thing we could say, see the Andre the Drinker episode.
Yeah, he was so good, we did an entire episode about him.
Yeah,
because there are so many stories that you can look up on the guy.
Right, we didn't want to turn this into a three-hour show.
Well, exactly, we already did that one time.
Yeah.
I would say maybe the highlight is when he took a shit on Bad News Brown.
Definitely the highlight.
Yeah.
Which there was a reference to in the new show intro.
Yes, there was.
In which I was very drunk. I don't know if you can tell how much I was slurring.
Wait, you were drunk?
a little bit, you could say that.
Living the gimmick, brother.
Yep.
All right, next one pretty much just lives the gimmick in the shows. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Made a career out of it.
He really did.
Seriously.
He's a Hall of Famer because he enjoyed beer.
That's true. I mean, that was such a part of his character.
That was
you know?
A huge part. It appealed to the everyman.
It really
that was
did.
Going to Monday Night Raw, watching the show. Hey, I like to go home and have a beer after work, too.
Yeah.
This guy's drinking them in the ring. Fucking A.
Especially back then, because it was a lot. Because I was in college at that point.
Right.
You were a little out of college, I guess.
Right.
But it was a lot of college kids who were on the show who were just like recently drinking age.
Yeah, there were watch parties of college, like frat houses or dorms, whatever.
Totally.
Watching Raw or watching Nitro.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold fed right into that.
And having been to a lot of shows back then, there was a lot of drinking going on at the shows.
Oh my God.
Right? Because
yes.
It was a lot of dudes my age and everybody was drinking beer. You
know. Tailgating at like a Raw or a Nitro.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was. And it was really, yeah, he really like created that culture of.
Yep.
Drinking at the show.
Yeah.
You know, like
so not only did he have like the everyman working man gimmick, but he was drinking in the ring. He was talking about beer all the time. Like he literally built his career on that and being anti-authority.
Yeah.
So yeah, Stone Cold totally fits into this episode.
It was a little like Van Halen, like how Michael Anthony played the Jack Daniels bass. You know what I mean? So like
yes.
The band was in on it. Like the band is like the guys on in the crowd.
Right.
Stone Cold was that way. He was like a rock star type. He didn't have a rock star look, but he had that rock star persona.
Absolutely.
You know?
So many innovations with his beer usage, whether it was just holding a can or two coming to the ring, holding an entire cooler, or even driving a fucking beer truck to the ring.
Which that was fucking awesome, dude. That was.
You think about iconic moments in Raw history, the beer truck has to be at least top five.
I was going to say top five. Fuck, dude.
I would
might
probably
be number
put it in top three.
I wouldn't even argue that.
Yeah.
Off the top, I might have to sit down and think about it, but right now, like without. You know, brainstorming, that's my number one, probably. Like,
yeah,
I don't know
incredible.
What I can think of. Yeah.
People still talk about it today. Like, you've got those moments in Raw history, like Stephanie strung up on a cross.
Yeah.
The Rock and Sock Connection skit.
Mm-hmm.
But the beer truck and the milk truck. because the milk truck was inspired by the beer truck. So I don't even know if I would really count that one.
Yeah.
But it's so iconic. It's got to be in at least everybody's top three in Raw history.
Yeah, that was a jump off the couch fucking moment.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? Yes, that was like absolutely. Jump off. You would have been texting all your friends if you had it, if you could text back then.
Fuck, did you see Austin in the truck come to the ring and he bumped it?
Right, right. He smashed into
the ring.
The ring
and everybody inside got him shifted. What?
No, wait. I think you're thinking of the Zamboni.
Oh, okay. So the truck.
No, you're right.
The truck he stopped short. Yeah. Okay. Which we'll save that for, we have a different episode in mind for that.
Yes, we do for people driving.
But it was
things.
So fucking cool, dude. Like, oh, I would awesome. Have been the next day going to school. A year earlier, I would have been in high school. I would have been going to school. Like, it would have been all anyone was talking about. It was so fucking great.
Yeah.
I think I also remember like with my root beer just crashing cans together and then throwing it back.
Well, let's not forget the toss into the ring too. The guy that was outside the ring tossing Mike, Austin the beers.
Mark Eaton, right?
Yes.
The timekeeper.
Yeah,
and clean catches too.
And the arm on that motherfucker.
Unbelievable.
Right?
Unbelievable. It was like just pitch it in there and Austin would catch it, which was incredible because you got to figure they're wet cans.
It was like, who's keeping time? Dave Henderson? Yeah. You know what I mean? It was awesome.
Great. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an arm and literally built a career out of drinking beer.
Yep.
Cheers to Austin, man.
Also, wherever it's sold, get some Broken Skull IPA.
It's delicious.
It's so good, dude. I wish we could get it up here.
Yep.
Oh, no, you found it. You found it.
I did. I think you drank the rest of it.
Yeah, I did. I drank it. Yeah. That's why I forgot.
You must be so embarrassed.
We got Jake the Snake Roberts.
So I've got Jake lumped in kind of with Scott Hall.
I know where you're going with this.
Kind of with Hawk.
Yeah.
And kind of with Sonny.
Yes.
I've got the four of them because it's not really one that we want to celebrate. It's more one that we want to hope that they get the help that they need. And while it seems that Jake is on the right path.
Hawk's not.
We know Sonny's not.
No.
But it seems like Scott Hall also may not. And we know that Jake and Scott were helped by DDP.
What do you mean Scott Hall may not? I thought he was better.
Scott Hall just did one of those virtual signings.
Oh.
It lasted not even 5 minutes and they had to cut it off.
Oh, Lord.
Because he was in no shape. Apparently, he presented himself as okay before they went live with it.
Right.
And then once they went live, it became very apparent that Scott Hall was not right. And within 5 minutes, it was ended. Refunds had to be made. He signed a small fraction of what was brought in for him to do a signing on. And it's very sad. I hope he gets the help that he needs. But those aren't guys that we necessarily really want to celebrate. But their drinking did have an impact, be it on the outside of the ring or sometimes on the inside, as they did become angles at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
With almost every single one of them, not with Sonny.
No.
But I do have a Sonny drunk story.
So I'll pull back the curtain on this a little bit. I texted you last night because I actually had Jake and I had pretty much the same people, not Hawk, but I had Sonny. And I started looking up some stuff and I was like, I don't know if I want to touch this because it's not funny.
Yeah.
And I just mentioned that to you, and you said you put Sonny on your list because you had a Sonny story. I have a Jake story.
Oh,
so
perfect.
So I'll let you go first because I was like, if we've got something that's entertaining, not just fucking sad, let's do it. So you got a Sonny story, so let's hear it.
I do, and this is actually an instance where Sonny brought the party. So I was at I was at Wrestle Reunion in 2012, and for those not familiar with what Wrestle Reunion is, it was an event. I forget who put it on, but it was essentially, think WrestleCon, but smaller scale, where a bunch of wrestlers are brought in and they take over a hotel and there's autograph signings, there's wrestling shows. At this particular one in 2012, it was in Los Angeles near the airport, and Colt Cabana was putting on his $5 wrestling event. And what $5 wrestling was, aside from being a live show at some point with actual in-ring wrestling, was Marty DeRosa, a comedian, and Colt Cabana watching shitty wrestling matches. So if you've ever seen Mystery Science Theater 3000,
right,
it's where they have like the shadow heads watching a shitty movie and they're making snide comments. That's what $5 wrestling was. It was Colton Marty as the shadow heads basically ripping on this wrestling. Well, anyway, they did a live show. So my brother and I were in the audience and Colton Marty are doing their thing and we're watching shitty wrestling and it's hilarious. Sonny walks in. And Sonny is fucking hammered. And Sonny brought a friend. Sunny is sitting in the audience at first, and as Marty and Colt are doing their things.
Wait, so she walked in and just sat down.
And sat amongst
did
the
everyone
people.
Notice her right away? Like,
no.
Did she didn't make a scene or anything when she
Not
walked
really,
in?
Not really, no.
Okay,
I
so
mean,
you
some people noticed her and made a commotion or whatever, but she sat down.
You could have missed her.
You could have, yeah.
Okay.
But then she started making comments as they're doing their thing.
Like Colt, a heckler.
Exactly. So they have no choice but to acknowledge her, like, hey, Sunny, how are you? And in the moment, we're like, come on down. So she ends up grabbing a seat next to them as they're watching, doing their thing. And she essentially just took this thing over for like 5 or 10 minutes before they were finally like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you had your moment. Clearly you're hammered. And
right.
She was fucking hammered, dude. Her and her friend that she brought. And I think she may have picked up a dude or something and they went out to the back.
Lucky.
Yeah. But that's my drunk Sunny story. She made a commotion, made a scene, and then departed. And that's how I remember her. And I don't remember seeing her the next day either.
That's pretty strong. That's a good one.
Slept until 3 p.m. the next day. Who knows? The event was over by then. But yeah, that's my Sunny story.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, it was bad, dude.
Yeah.
It was bad. But again, you see that and you're like, man, that's... I mean, granted, when it took place, it was like midnight, 1 a.m. So it was late, you know? So she's very entitled to go do her thing, have her fun.
That sounds like fun drunk. You know what I mean?
It
does. That doesn't sound like sad drunk. Like,
but then you start to hear other stories. Like recently, Sunny's been in the news and she's been through rehab and out of rehab. And so I kind of lump her in with the ones that I hope she gets help.
Yeah.
And Hawk was mentioned in that it was actually brought into a storyline.
Right.
Where Draws actually pushed him off of the Titantron. And his whole drunk thing actually became part of his in-ring. And it became a whole angle. They did the same thing with Scott Hall.
And Jake.
And they did the same thing with Jake, where Jerry Lawler did the whole Jack Daniels thing.
Yeah,
and
Thunderbird.
Yeah, Thunderbird, thank you. So it's not necessarily something that I condone. They're obviously dealing with demons outside the ring. I don't know that I would want to bring that into an angle.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of grouped all of them together with, let's hope that they're on the right path.
And they're sort of doing the same thing with Jeff. Yes,
Elias. He ran Elias over. Jeff Hardy did.
Right. And then just last week, I think AJ made some reference to Jeff stumbling to the ring. And I was like, whoa, that's a little on the nose.
What, dude, especially given his match with Sting in TNA. Like,
yeah.
Come on, guys.
Exactly.
Do we really need to do this again?
Like, right. Yeah.
That was real life being brought into the ring. I don't know that I always agree with that.
Right. I feel like with the Jeff one, he might be on board with that because he's like a... Apparently he's better, so he might be kind of like, I don't mind bringing this up in real life because it's better.
I don't think
any of
them mind.
And if I come, well, look, Jake needed the money, so Jake would have done anything.
That's my point.
But
none of them mind because it becomes a storyline. It becomes part of drawing money. It's the gimmick at that point.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff is like, he's always going to come out on top. He's the babyface. He's always going to win on his feud. So kind of like, yeah, you can say what you want about me having been an addict and this and that. But I've overcome that kind of thing.
Yes.
I sort of think that might be kind of why they're doing that with Jeff, because it always ends positively.
I hope so. I mean, look, Matt Hardy was in the dumps at one point, too. Like, you thought you were going to see Matt Hardy passes away at whatever age.
Totally.
And he kicked out. Like, he's made... Look at what he's done since then. Completely reinvented himself. Well, okay, so you're not a huge Matt Hardy fan. But in terms of being able to be at that rock bottom and then bring yourself back... Like,
right.
He and Jeff have both done an incredible job.
Yeah.
So that's another one. I'm glad you brought up Jeff. I would lump him in with Hawk, Sonny, Scott Hall, Jake, that maybe they're on the right path. And not Hawk, obviously. He's RIP Hawk.
Yeah.
But hopefully they're on the right path and getting the help that they need, especially Scott Hall in the news with them the last couple of weeks, where the week before Halloween right now recording.
Right.
I really hope he's getting the help that he needs.
Yeah. It does seem that way with the Hardys specifically.
Yeah. I mean, and they've really turned it around, dude. So kudos to them.
Matt turned around and still had enough money left over to buy a drone. So, you know, he at least didn't blow it all.
He's living large.
Yeah. So we mentioned Jake. So I heard a legendary story on Brian Last's 605 podcast.
The great Brian Last.
He was with a guy called, do you know Jerry Gray?
Jerry Gray?
Yeah. So I had to look up who he was.
That doesn't ring any bells.
He wrestled down in the South, mostly in the South.
Okay.
But it sounded like he was in WWE for a minute, and he was supposed to be in a tag match with Jake, I think.
Like his partner?
Yeah.
Okay.
His partner. It was, I forget where he said it was. But it was fucking crazy, the scene that was going on there. Jake was like completely out of his mind. So he goes in the locker room. Jake is giving the snake beer. He's like pouring beer into the snake's mouth, which that I didn't really like that, you know. And he was like tossing the snake around the locker room like he was completely out of control. Then he
can't he just helicopter his dick like a normal guy? He's got to toss his real snake around the locker room.
Well, speaking of his dick, that came out and he got a blowjob in front of the whole locker room.
Oh, wow.
Right after this.
From Jerry Gray?
No, from his like girlfriend or whoever, like some chick or a rat. I don't know.
Oh.
Then he like started flipping out. He started ripping his hair out.
Damn.
And then so I guess everybody was running out of the locker room. Like everyone was like, I don't want to be here. You know, I don't want any part of this except Honky. Honky man, Honky Tonk stuck around. He wanted to see what happened.
He wrote a song about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Jake ends up peeing in a beer bottle and he's arguing with Jerry Gray and he tells him, like, I'm gonna drink this to show you, to prove to you how much I respect you. And he accidentally spilled a little bit of it on Honky Tonk.
Oh.
And Honky's trying to talk him out of it. And he drank it. He drank the whole bottle of pee.
That's how much he respects Jerry Gray.
Yeah. And then he gave Jerry Gray $1,000. Like he was getting, like they got paid $1,000. And he was like, I'm going to give you $1,000 because we're not going to get paid tonight because I'm not going to the ring.
Jerry Gray hit the lottery.
Yeah.
Drank piss in his honor and then gave him a grand.
Right.
Get in on
that. I have a piss drinking story that, should I tell that after I finish the Jake story?
I didn't do it. Okay. So it wasn't you.
No, but I watched it.
Tell it after the Jake story.
Okay.
Adam, please, you're the sober one here. Can you remind Ed to tell his piss drinking story after?
I'll do it in all caps.
Thank you.
So he ends up, they're arguing out into the hallway. He and Jerry are getting into a fight. And he said that the Bushwhackers were on the other side of like a window.
Oh, the Bushwhackers were there too.
Bushwhackers were there.
Oh, this is crazy.
Yeah, imagine the scene, right?
Honky Tonk Man. Bushwhackers. Jake, bottle of piss.
So the Bushwhackers are watching the fight go on through a window and they're calling the match to Honky Tonk Man, who's still there, but he can't see it from where he is.
The Bushwhackers are color commentators.
Yeah, they're doing commentary on this fight.
Fuck yes.
Out of the hallway. And then Jake ended up kissing the dude after he's got him down or something. They're like tussling and he kisses him and drank a bottle of pee. And then he just kind of got it together and they went out and worked the match.
Fuck. If we have any artists that are listening, could you please do a cartoon of this? Or if we have any figure animators, like do a stop motion to this.
Yeah,
this would be great because there are Bushwhacker figures. We have Honky. We have Jake. We need a Jerry Gray custom.
And a bottle of pee.
And a bottle of pee. And a drunk snake.
And a drunk.
This is incredible.
Yeah, right.
Who could script something like this?
No,
like,
you can't make this up.
No way, dude.
Yeah, this absolutely happened. Yeah.
Unbelievable. That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Okay, so your drinking piss story.
Okay, so this would have been October 1999. I was going to be Billy Idol for Halloween.
Oh,
right. Nice. So I was going to cut my hair. I don't know if you saw my costume.
I never saw this, no.
Yeah, we didn't really see much of each other back then, like once in a while.
Yeah, I think we started hanging out 03, 02?
Something like that. Yeah, like I'd run into you once in a while, but not.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got phones and started texting each other and getting drunk, and then that was it.
Exactly.
Like, and here we are with a podcast.
Yeah.
Fast forwarded a little bit, but it's okay.
Yeah. So I cut my hair like Billy Idol. I bleached. I told this dude that I worked with that I was going to bleach my hair. He's like, you're not going to bleach your hair. I said, yeah, I am. What are you talking about? He was like, I don't believe you. You're not going to bleach your hair.
So he didn't know your commitment to Halloween. I've seen your commitment to Halloween.
Right.
You go above and beyond.
Oh, yeah. Messing with my hair is not out of the question at all.
Right.
You can see me right now.
Like Jake committing to a gimmick drinking pee out of a beer bottle.
Right.
That's you at Halloween.
So this
minus
dude,
drinking pee.
Yeah. So this dude ends up telling me, he's like, I'll bet you don't bleach your hair. I said, okay, well, what's the bet? He goes, if you do it, I'll drink a 40 a pee.
Why do people
Holy
have to go right
hell.
There?
And I was like, okay, let's shake on it right now. And that was it. And I was like, you're hella dumb, dude. If I wasn't going to do it before, I'm totally doing
you're
it
totally
now.
Totally doing it now.
So, of course, I did it. So, we go over to his house, and he was like, the dude kept his word.
Oh, my God.
Credit.
Oh.
He was drinking beer all night, which was the stupidest thing you could do.
Oh, God.
You think you drink nothing but water.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I watched him pee in a bottle. Like, he turned around, but I could see it between his legs. There was no way he was faking it.
Yeah. And beer pee is so just
gross. You could smell it from the toilet.
You should have given some asparagus to him, dude.
Yeah.
That made it even better.
So he said, dude, the one deal is like, it's got to be cold. I was like, go ahead, dude. I let him do a 32-ounce bottle, too, and I had mercy on him. And he threw it in the freezer for like 3 hours to get it ice cold.
Oh my God.
He slammed that thing.
Oh, my God.
It was great. I'm on the couch watching him laugh my ass off. This dude, Carl, you know Carl?
Yeah.
Dude, I thought Carl was going to throw up. He was watching it. Now, I imagine most of our listeners are going to throw up. This is probably a bad thing to bring up during this.
Unsubscribe.
You know who's a fan and taking notes, though? It's probably Tessa.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Adam, who's next on the list?
I mean,
not Adam loves potty humor.
I mean,
who doesn't?
Comedy movies, I mean, they age very well.
They do, yes.
Covered Jake, covered Sonny in that group. I don't know, do we need to go more with Scott Hall on that?
I would say
I think we already got into that.
Yeah, we've already touched on him.
All right, next would be the Freebirds.
There were so many pictures of the Freebirds back in the 80s with alcohol. You would think that you were reading Hit Parader. Because remember, every picture of an 80s hair metal band was them drinking beer or Jack or whatever.
It was always Jack.
It was always Jack. Dude, there's as many pictures of the Freebirds drinking Jack as there were a fucking Motley Crue.
Yeah, the only one that was different was Slayer were always drinking Jaeger.
Right.
Yeah.
God love them.
Totally.
Yeah, respect. But no, the Freebirds, legendary drinkers, Michael Hayes as well, probably didn't even need alcohol to say the stupid shit that he said. But I don't want to get too much into them. They've got kind of a bad rap. Awesome in the ring, one of the best three-man tag team sets of all time, but heavy drinkers outside the ring. Gordy, Roberts, Hayes, every single one of them, legendary drinkers.
So I didn't have the whole crew on my list, but I had Michael Hayes because I had a few specific incidents with him.
Oh, you do have a few?
I do, yeah, I have a couple.
Would you like to elaborate, please?
Yeah, well,
one, he's on there.
One really fucking funny one is he got suspended for being in a bar with Rosa Mendez after she had gotten back from rehab.
He's a fucking enabler.
Yeah, he's like, let's go, Rosa.
Yeah. Oh, you're back. Good. Let's go to the bar.
And then there was the Mark Henry incident at the WrestleMania after party.
Yes.
Which you guys looked that up on your own. I'm not going to repeat what he said to him.
There's no need. That son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Not Mark Henry.
And then there was the plane ride from hell.
Yes.
Right. In which he was completely shit faced, apparently.
Yeah.
He tried to pee on one Linda McMahon. Right, which is like, that is, I'll tell you what, I've gotten drunk enough to pee in the wrong place. That's fucking drunk.
I've also been hammered enough to pee in the wrong place,
right?
But it's never been on a person.
Yeah.
Ever,
yeah.
Not
right.
One time.
Right, and I've only done it after waking up in the middle of the night.
Right, so I actually got so hammered at a Christmas party one year. This was back in 03, this is Maya and Shannon's. I think we were like 3 or 4 months into the relationship, and we stayed at a hotel. And, dude, I got up at, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning. We got back to the hotel at, like, 1 or 2. I was so fucking hammered because it was open bar. Dude, I got out of bed and pissed on the fucking lamp right next to the bed. The bathroom was, like, on the other side of the room. I didn't even think about it. Like, boom, pissing on the lamp. But okay. It was not a person.
Right. Okay, I've done this twice. Once was not that long ago in the hallway.
Not that long ago?
Yeah, like this year.
Oh.
In the hallway.
At your house?
Yeah, home. The other time
I would fucking kill you if I was Carissa.
The other time she was pissed. The other time, and you didn't know this.
Oh, did you piss in my house, you son
of
a bitch?
No, I didn't. I did it when we went to San Diego. I did it in the room.
You peed in your room in San Diego? Why am I just finding out about this now?
I don't know. I guess I didn't think to tell you about it.
Oh my God. That would have made it on those episodes we did in San Diego.
I think it was the last night. I think it was our last night there. Yeah.
Well, granted, we were drunk like every night there, dude.
We were shit-faced, yeah.
I barfed in the sink.
Yeah.
The kitchen sink.
The best was my brother did it one time in my mom's, you know, the heaters that are on the floor?
He peed into
that, and she said it smelled every time she would turn the heater on for like 2 weeks.
What smells like hot piss?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the heater.
Yeah. So anyway, Hayes tried to pee on Linda. Then he sat next to Bradshaw, who had been busted open on the tour.
Are we going to guess that's the first time that Linda was peed on or attempted to be peed on? Are we going to pretend that's the first time that happened?
Yeah, we're going to pretend.
We'll pretend?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, but we can pretend.
Yeah.
We'll pretend.
We know what you're up to, Vince.
Andre the Giant.
He sat next to Bradshaw, who had stitches in his head and was like nursing a wound from the show.
Okay.
And he's like playing grab ass with that guy. He sits down and just starts being obnoxious and goofing around. Bradshaw decks him, knocks him out cold on the plane.
Oh, fuck.
Knocks him out. While he's knocked out, X-Pac went and cut his ponytail off.
Oh, shit.
And supposedly, I haven't heard confirmation on this. I saw X-Pac. I've heard X-Pac tell the story about cutting the ponytail off. I haven't heard confirmation on this, but supposedly he taped it up on the wall in Gorilla the next day.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so can I tell a really quick funny X-Pac story that may have stemmed from?
Please do. I know which one you're going to tell. Go ahead.
You know this one?
Yeah.
So, 123 Kid. X-Pac was formerly 123 Kid when he first came into the WWF. Part of his hazing was Mr. Perfect knew 123 Kid was about to go in for his promo shoots. Mr. Perfect shaved off one of 123 Kid's eyebrows.
While he was passed out.
Right, while he was passed out. Well, he wouldn't have like just let him shave.
Well, right.
Of course, yeah, he was passed out. Mr. Perfect shaved one eyebrow because then you're left with the decision. Do you just let that grow back and deal with one eyebrow? Or do you shave off the other one so you have a matching set of no eyebrows?
Right.
Here's the kicker. Those promo shoots that 123 Kid was going in for, one of them was for his action figure.
Yeah.
So if you ever go back and look at the 123 Kid action figure card, he's got shaved off eyebrows.
Oh, man.
Because of Mr. Perfect.
And apparently they had no other pictures they could use of him.
Apparently not. No.
And it had to be that one.
Yeah, it had to be that one. Yeah, and he was in Global Wrestling before that. They could have used one of those, like, fuck it. But no, they had to use the one where he had no eyebrows. And you look at the picture, you're like, why the fuck? Oh, now you know.
Right, right.
Now
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
So he got his revenge years later on a poor Michael Hayes. Well, I don't know about poor Michael Hayes, but
yeah.
Hammered Michael Hayes.
Hammered
cut
Michael
off
Hayes.
His, yeah. Cut yeah. off his ponytail.
Knocked out Michael Hayes.
That's fantastic, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Brie Bella.
I heard about this, but I didn't know it was true.
Oh, Brie's a party dude.
Is she really?
Yeah, you don't watch Total Divas. That's why you don't know this.
No, fuck that show.
I only saw that one. Yeah, it was just one discussion clip with Daniel Bryan. They're on their way somewhere. I don't know if there was a clip of it somehow, but this bike incident being mentioned.
Yeah, so she rode her bike to a bar drunk, and then they wouldn't let her in because she wasn't let into the bar because she was too drunk to get in the bar.
That's but she fucking, rode her bike there. That should
right.
be enough reason to let her in.
You would think so, but like that's drunk if they don't even let you in the bar.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
I've never gone to a bar that drunk anyway.
Well, you were assumed to be that drunk in Sacramento. They wouldn't serve you more Jaeger.
I know, and I wasn't even that drunk.
No.
No, he wouldn't even serve me. No, I was... Yeah, it was Jaeger. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to buy more Jaeger shots.
Yeah, it was like, you seem like you've been drinking. You seem a little tipsy. I was like, yeah, I'm a little tipsy. I fucking just went to the Metallica show next door.
But I've seen you fucking hammered, dude.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you being that hammered in a public place. I've only ever seen you that hammered, like, in a controlled environment.
Yeah,
like
I'm cool. I behave when I'm in public.
Yeah,
that
you
guy
know
was
how to
a
act.
Fucking, that guy was a fucking idiot.
Fuck Sacramento.
But, so they wouldn't let her in. She flipped the bouncer off and then got back on her bike to ride home and crashed the bike.
Oh, that's awesome. Bless her heart.
Yeah, there was a scene on Total Divas where she fell off a table in a bar dancing on it. Fell off. And she lost her shoes in Mexico when she was drunk, which is
I would like
just
to put
silly.
Our wives up against Brie Bella to see who wins.
Well, okay, so you know Carissa has that shirt that says Brie Mode, and
yes.
Brie would yell Brie Mode
yes.
before she'd hit that, I think, that running knee against the ropes.
Yeah.
Brie Mode came from, they would say that she was in Brie Mode when she was totally shit-faced.
Oh.
That's where that term came from. Right, and she was so well known for Brie Mode and for getting drunk that Brie Mode is actually in the Urban Dictionary.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think the hens should shout it the next time they're going to get hammered. Well, like right now, for example, while they're getting ready for Halloween, I think they should be shouting Brie Mode while panting pumpkin pie.
Do you want me to go down there and tell them to yell that?
Probably, yeah.
All right,
let's go for it.
Yeah.
All right.
This is happening right now.
And in this intermission, just want to remind you.
Brie Mode!
There it is.
Maybe I shouldn't have jumped in on that. But that was epic. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So that's it for Brie.
Next up that you have on here is Raven.
Oh, I didn't even have him on my list.
I've just heard that Raven was a big time drinker, like go out to the bars, go party. The only reason I put Raven on here is because, and I was having a hard time finding anything about it, but I've heard him talk about it.
Is it the strip club story?
No, what's the strip club story?
Where he got a blowjob from a stripper while eating a fillet of fish.
No, I forgot about that. I have heard that story. That's fucking awesome. And
that's about as close as you get to like really being drunk in a Burger King bathroom.
No, getting busy in a Burger King bathroom.
Busy, thank you.
Yeah.
Fish isn't even from Burger King.
CM Punk once tried to tip a stripper with a fillet of fish. And he didn't even drink. No, the one Raven story I know is that they were in a bar one time. He met some 72-year-old woman.
Oh, no.
And went home, like, took her back to his room and banged her just because he thought it would be a good story.
Ugh.
What the?
Yeah.
A G-MILF.
Yeah, that's all. That's really, that was enough to make it onto my list.
That's taking it to the extreme.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we already touched on them. If there's anything more on the Hardy Boys.
I think we covered them.
I think we wrapped them up.
With especially in more recent storyline, just with Samoa Joe and Sheamus touching on Jeff Hardy's past on there, and then actually there was that Irish bar match that Sheamus had with Hardy.
Yeah, it was okay. Where,
yeah, I mean it's because of all the shutdowns and going to the Performance Center and Thunderdome now. Like, all those movie wrestling matches that are okay.
I'm glad they got away from those.
Yeah, for sure. Somehow he was able to magically put on makeup while in the middle of a fight with Sheamus and got a Swanton bomb off of a ladder that happened to be in the bar.
Forgot about that. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
We tried to forget.
What, your new tagline, here to educate. So, you know,
it's true.
We're doing that. Next on, we have Jimmy Uso.
Oh.
Well done. Yeah, right. And he might be another one of a... I forgot to actually write my notes down about him. But he's just a...
He just had a DUI, right?
Bit of a maniac. We had one DUI. Then he, I think, got pulled over with Naomi driving the car like last summer. About a year ago. 14, 15 months ago. They got pulled over. The cop smelled alcohol. She got out of the car. Jimmy gets out of the car, takes his shirt off, and like tries to fucking loke up on a cop.
Unbelievable.
Gets arrested. And then you think like, okay, well, shit, it's time to get your shit together. No, he gets another DUI this year.
Yeah.
So.
Didn't it that same week or so, John Cena made a shoot at it on like Raw or SmackDown? Like that week
or so? Oh, that would be in poor taste. Did he really?
I think so.
That sounds like Cena, to tell you the truth, like, but I don't remember
random ones, I do think it was Cena. I could be wrong about that one, but it was it was really weird, and it was within that week or so.
Maybe. Yeah, I watch so much damn wrestling, weird. I can't keep track of it.
Right.
All right, next up is Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, good one. He was not on my list.
Yeah, it's funny because you hear a lot of people tell these stories, and Piper always seems to be there.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Ric Flair story, a Dusty Rhodes story, a Rockers story, Piper's always there stirring the pot. Like, he's always that dude. Look, he's the Rowdy Scott.
He's hosting Piper's Pit in real life.
In real life. Yeah, they're at the bar. He's fucking breaking out the microphone and the kilt and like, let's fucking do this.
Yeah, right.
Like, he always seemed to be in the middle of it. And there's always drinking stories. So, yeah, gotta include Piper on the Greatest Drinkers episode.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Next up. From the Straight Edge Society, released, got back to the Mae Young Classic, and became a trainer for X amount of time for a release, and now with AEW, Serena Deeb.
Really?
That's just a brief one that I thought of to put on there, because remember, she was part of the Straight Edge Society, and she got spotted in a bar.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
They fucking fired her.
Yeah, good point.
It's like, you fucking dummy.
Yeah, that's so fucking, great,
your whole
dude.
Career, you work to get to this spot, and you go to a bar when your gimmick is you don't drink.
Beer is good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? I was just like, man, that's someone who likes to drink.
Yes, exactly.
That's like a dude at work, not someone I worked with, but someone I worked with in another spot. He failed a drug test. He tested positive for meth.
Damn.
And they were like, usually at work, they'll let you go to rehab. And he's like, I'm not going to rehab. And they're like, well, it's that or you get fired. He goes, fire me. I was like, damn, dude, that dude loves meth.
He does.
That's what I thought about Serena Deeb. I was like, psh. She loves drinking.
That's his bumper sticker. Yeah. I heart meth. Yeah. On his work truck.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. Definitely can't omit him.
Yeah.
The Sandman.
Dude.
With one of the greatest entrance styles.
Right.
Utilizing beer.
You know what, though? With Sandman, it's almost like, see Steve Austin. The guy's whole thing was drinking beer.
Right, but...
See Steve Austin... Add crushing beer on your forehead. That's
it. And minus wrestling talent. That's my opinion.
But here's the difference. Sandman did it before the match instead of after the match. So Sandman was... And you watch him drink... You know, I mean, he would drink so many of those fucking beers, and I know he's only drinking about a half of each one.
Right.
You drink a half of that many beers that fast, you're drunk.
Yeah.
Right? So he wrestled drunk regularly.
Yeah. And it looked like it.
We saw him at that WrestleCon, whatever it was called.
Oh, my God, dude.
He was as drunk as anyone I've ever seen.
That was in 2007.
2007. He was fucking loaded.
Oh, yeah.
He was... Oh, my God. I don't even know what that dude had been drinking.
Dude, you know what's funny is you mentioned Sandman loaded at a signing. I actually met Jake at a signing back in, I want to say it was 2006, 2007. He was at a BTW show.
Wow.
It was one of those WrestleFest ones, and the Young Bucks were there. The Young Bucks were actually at the table right next to Jake.
Okay.
And, dude, Jake was hammered. Jake was hammered. Jeff and I got into the pick with Jake because we did a dual picture with him, and I can show it to you. And the photographer was like, okay, about to take the picture. And Jake saw, say poison. Like, he was fucking lit, dude. He wasn't wearing shoes.
Oh, my God.
He was fucking barefoot. Like, why are you barefoot? He was hammered, dude. He was walking through the lobby. He had handlers and shit. Like, he was lit. You could look into his eyes and see he wasn't there.
Right,
and again, this
right.
was well before DDP came into his life and made him better. But he was fucking hammered, dude. Much like when we saw Sam in 07.
Was the snake drunk?
Luckily, the snake wasn't there. But he might have been in the room recovering from a severe hangover.
The snake was in the room drinking Gatorade.
Maybe a Pedialyte. I don't know.
So I had that, and then I just read one hilarious story where he went to do a run-in on someone. I forget who. He was in a run-in and hit someone with a DDT. He slipped on a watermelon.
What? Wait, what?
It was ECW, remember? Like,
where was the watermelon? In the walkway?
I guess, yeah. He slipped. You know those ECW shows, people would bring shit to the shows.
My gosh, dude. What the fuck? A watermelon?
Yeah, he slipped on a watermelon. He hit the post and knocked himself out.
Oh, my. Yeah. You know what? Paul E. dangerously probably left that for him. It was probably loaded with vodka. It was a gift for Sandman.
Yeah, jungle juice.
Right, exactly. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Next up is Sarah Stock.
I meant to take that off my list. Yeah, that was the trainer who just got fired and then got like, got arrested for drunk and disorderly.
Dummy.
Yeah, but there wasn't she wasn't really worth talking about, so I forgot to tell you to take her off the list.
Yeah, let's just edit her out entirely.
Yeah, forget we talked about this, you guys.
This never happened.
All right, so wow, first instruction to come from drunk wrestling history, aside from the liking, subscribing, and leaving us notes.
This is not the drunk you were looking for.
This is not the drunk we were looking for. All right. Next one produces a little bit of the bubbly. Les Champions, this from Sex Gods, the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho.
You've got a live and in-person Jericho story.
I do, and...
Chris is laughing at you, dude.
I was like, wait, are you going to tell a Jericho story?
I do have a Jericho
live. That was perfect timing. Thank you.
So I'll just go into a very brief detail because we have a Jericho episode coming up. I'm not exactly sure when I'm going to upload it. You know what? I'll upload it next week after this. I'll make that the next show after this one.
I would make a note of that because we're clearly drunk right now.
Someone remind me, Adam. So I have a pretty crazy Jericho drunk story. Basically, I saw him at a horror movie convention in Sacramento.
You told me this. I remember.
And he was fucking shit-faced. And actually, the stuff he said that I talk about in the other episode was worse than I remembered because I found video of it on TMZ.
Oh, it was worse.
So you guys, when you see this, I don't want to spoil it for next week's episode, but go just search Jericho Horror Festival Sacramento TMZ, something like that. It was pretty crazy. Dude was fucking hammered.
It was a long show, though, to his credit.
It was
That's a lot of Grey Goose you can drink.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because that seems to be his choice, aside from the bubbly.
Right. He's a Grey Goose guy ever since, like, I forget, but he talked about it in his first book about when he switched to Grey Goose.
Right.
DUI in LA, 2006.
Excellent.
Excellent.
After WWE, because he had quit in 05.
He was gone at that point. Yeah, that's when he was, I think, part of the Groundlings, or he was trying to become part of the Groundlings.
The Groundlings?
It's like a, Adam knows what they are.
Comedy group.
They're like the LA version of the Second City.
Okay, because he left in 05.
Yeah.
Right, like his contract ran out. He was gone for like 3 years.
Right, he was trying to get into acting and shit.
Okay. Seemed to have worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah.
Not the acting thing, but everything else.
The drinking.
He
got in a fight with Hurricane when they were both drunk. They got arrested, and he got bailed out by Punk.
Okay, dude, listen, real quick. How many fights have you and I been in drunk?
With each other or with other people?
With you and I. Each other.
Zero.
Thank you. How do you fight when you're drunk?
Yeah, I got into a scuffle with a guy at a pizza place in the city one time.
But that's not a friend.
No, not a friend.
I'm talking about you and I hanging out, drinking, talking about wrestling like we're doing right now. Like,
right.
Zero fights.
Yeah, that's true.
You would assume Jericho and Hurricane, their years in the business, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
How in the fuck do you fight?
Some people are bad drunks.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. Be a happy drunk. Come on.
Yeah.
Talk about wrestling. Keep it happy.
Yeah. The other thing I had for Jericho basically is, like, I know he's just a big time drinker, but there aren't a lot of notorious Jericho stories, but he does get fucking shit faced on his podcast on occasion.
Good for him.
You can hear it sometimes. There have been a few where he did like a long episode, and you can, and he'll say that he's drinking Grey Goose with whatever the guy's name is that he does the podcast with sometimes, like a roadie for Fozzy.
Ralphus.
And you can, yeah, Ralphus. He and Ralphus will be drinking.
I think Ralphus is dead.
And
my
you can,
apologies.
You can hear it through like the beginning toward the end of the episode. You can tell Jericho's
he's
getting
hammered.
Drunk. Yeah, it's pretty cool. He did one episode that he said he got so drunk that they never uploaded it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
dude.
It might have been like a WrestleMania preview or some shit.
Dude,
like
even
that.
Howard Stern uploaded his most drunk episode. Like, that happened.
Well,
live.
Howard drinks like a bitch, though. Like, he barely gets drunk.
That's why it's fun.
Well, but everybody else on the show was hammered. Artie was fucked up.
Dude.
That was Vegas. I was there, actually. I was at that show.
That was when Sal and Richard did Nurse Chad.
You're thinking of a different time. That's when they got drunk at Sirius.
Yeah, at Sirius. Yeah.
I was there when they were still on K-Rock and he got drunk in Vegas when they did the show.
Oh,
the
you
Hard
were
Rock.
There for that?
I went to that. I went to Vegas
That's
to watch
so
the
awesome.
Show. It's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we hung out with Jeff the Drunk. Yeah, and we hung out with...
You hung out with Beetlejuice, too.
I went to a strip club with Beetlejuice.
That's so great.
Yeah, and King of
and
All
that,
Blacks.
That holds wrestling lore because Beetlejuice was actually in WCW for a minute.
I went to a strip club in Vegas with WCW superstar Beetlejuice.
Right. Right. Lucky.
Yeah, I forget there were
was
a couple
you rubbing
other
elbows.
I think Hank was at that too in WCW. Hank the
he
Dwarf.
He was, yeah.
And High Pitch, which we both met. Oh, I was in that same strip club with High Pitch, and you and I took a picture with High Pitch in New York.
In New York, yeah. Not yeah. at a strip club, though.
Right.
And then that's when Stuttering John big timed us.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him.
Fuck Stuttering
What's
John.
What's he doing now, anyway?
Sucking.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Not working fucking for Jay Leno.
No.
Prick.
All fuck right. him.
Last one that I got on the list under specific instructions, saving him for last. It is the styling, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, son of a gun, Ric Flair.
Woo! I did tell you to save this for last because I knew it was going to be the best.
He's the main event.
And he is half of the first page of my notes.
Nice.
He is the man.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
So many stories are told by people that are not Ric Flair that involve Ric Flair.
Right, right, exactly.
It, like, we talked about Piper stirring the pot. Flair was, like, leveling up from that.
Oh,
like,
my God,
Flair
yeah.
seems to be at the center of every drinking story told. Like,
yeah.
not a lot of Andre's stories, but Hogan, Piper.
Yep.
Anybody else, like, Ric Flair seems to be involved.
Absolutely, yeah.
See Unforgiven 2005.
yeah. definitely see that, and that one's coming up soon too, you guys. So I wrote down a handful of stories of Flair.
Go for it, because I have zero on Flair.
Okay,
he's legendary. Everybody
right.
talks about drinking with Flair. Dusty yeah. Rhodes. I mean,
yeah.
all the Rhodes stories. It's incredible. But please, proceed.
Okay. So the first one is they were working Sacramento, and he and Luger went and stayed at a hotel. Luger got the hotel room. It was $500 a night. This was like 1989.
Is this before Luger killed Elizabeth?
Yeah, way before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 15 years or so before that.
Okay, gotcha.
$500 a night room in Sacramento, right? Imagine how great that
Where
room
the
is.
Fucked.
In 1989, right? Try and find a $500 a night room in Sacramento now.
Where in the hell were they staying?
I don't know, dude. There must be a castle there or something.
There must be.
Must have come with butlers?
Yeah. As soon as they checked in, Flair wants to go out drinking, of course. They stayed out all night. Luger said he got back to his room like a minute before he had to take off to get on the road. So he dropped $500 to stay at a hotel room that he never even saw because of Flair. There's one really legendary story where he went into a bar with the Horsemen and he bought 137 kamikazes. They did a count. They counted how many people were in the bar. There were 137 people there. They bought a kamikaze for everyone there.
Dude.
Yeah.
But look, Flair is broke today.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because he lived that Playboy high-profile gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't just him on TV.
Right.
That was Ric Flair in real life. And maybe that's what made it so fucking great
yeah.
on TV is because he was the same guy outside the ring that he was inside the ring.
He's a fucking character.
Who lives their life like that besides Ric Flair?
No one.
The guy's in fucking huge tax trouble.
Yeah.
He's broke.
Totally. Yeah.
Because he lived that gimmick from the 80s to like... yesterday,
mm-hmm.
today, like but, he's that guy.
But you know what? Totally worth it.
Who's going to argue?
Right.
Like, if Ric Flair, God forbid, were to die today,
yeah,
that guy lived a hell of a life.
Oh, he wouldn't be like, damn, I regret dying broke.
Zero regrets.
You know? Yeah. No,
no,
be like,
regrets.
I had a good time.
Right.
Yeah. So that was one of his kind of things that he would do regularly, is he would go to a bar and buy a round for the entire fucking bar.
Yep.
So I've heard, I think it was Jim Ross said that he would do that regularly. He'd go get the whole bar drunk, go around, talk to everyone, party with everyone. And the song would come on that he likes. He'd start dancing with everybody's wives, you know? He's like dancing with every chick in the fucking bar.
He did that on Saturday morning TV too, though.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that was him on TBS.
Yeah.
Talking to the ladies in the front row. Like,
yeah.
That was just Flair, dude. The same guy.
That's baller shit too, dude. Because there have been a few times that I bought a round of drinks for the whole bar.
Yeah.
Definitely because Ric Flair has done it. Like, I think that's cool. So I've done it.
Yeah.
But never
you
with
do it, you woo.
But never with 137 people. I did it once. No. I did it, I think, the night after WrestleMania Dallas. At a bar, there are like 12 people in there. I got a round of Jaeger for everyone.
Right, like you go to the Alibi in NOLA after a WrestleMania, right? And there's like, what, 12 people in there? Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Right, but you drop $100 and you get a shot for everybody in the bar.
Yeah, and you're a baller. Like, you feel like a big deal. Like, you're wooing and shit with people.
But 137 kamikazes.
That's, dude.
First of all, imagine being the bartender who has to fucking mix 137 kamikazes. Dude. But that had to be, let's say, even back then, a $5 drink, you know? Like, that's no fucking... Of course, you probably made 15 G's for the show that night, I guess.
But still, you do that every night.
Yeah.
Because they were doing at least 5 shows a week back then.
Right.
They were a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, Flair absolutely 100% lived his gimmick outside and inside the ring.
Right. Okay, another one is they did a 5-day West Coast tour, which I've heard a lot of stories about this tour.
In which...
In NWA.
Okay.
They based out of Vegas. So I think they had Crockett's plane. So they would stay in Vegas, fly to San Francisco, fly back to Vegas. Damn. Fly the next day to San Jose, do the show, fly back to Vegas.
I wish I could have seen them back then, dude.
Yeah. Jeez. So they stayed at Vegas every night. He says he didn't sleep for 5 days.
I could believe it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's Flair.
Yeah. During this, and I believe Dusty was involved with this, he spent $40,000 on 2 fur coats while he was drunk.
He did own a lot of fur coats. He would wear them on Saturday afternoons.
He said he's never worn either of these. Oh, my God. I think what it was I think he got them for his wife, because I think Dusty walked by with his wife in a fur coat.
Okay.
And Flair was like, let's go. I'm getting you a fur coat.
Then
Dusty the next day came by with his wife like in another fur coat. And then Nate went and got another fur coat for his wife.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's
the giving nature of Flair.
Yes. Okay, he had a match with Terry Taylor. I think it was at the Superdome, brother.
Okay, would it be Mid-South then?
It was at least in New Orleans. So maybe it was... I'm not sure if it was Mid-South or if it was NWA, but it was New Orleans.
Do you know what year?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay, if it was at the Superdome and it was against Terry Taylor...
That would make sense.
I'm guessing it's Mid-South because Terry Taylor was never that big of a deal to headline a show with Flair in the NWA.
Okay, so probably was.
So it was probably Mid-South.
So that adds up that it would be at the Superdome, brother.
Probably like 85.
Okay.
Brother.
Show starts. Flair's not there. Flair shows up around 8:15, shit faced. Terry Taylor said he looked like he'd been out all night.
Yep.
Like he hadn't been back. He hadn't slept since the day before. It's an hour before the match.
And they're going to go 60.
Yeah. Flair tells someone, get me some coffee. And he tells Terry Taylor, come get me in an hour. Terry Taylor's like, fuck, dude, this would be the biggest match of my career, and Flair's going to ruin it.
Yeah, we're supposed to go Broadway, and he's going to fuck it up.
They actually went 48 minutes, according to Terry Taylor.
Yep.
And he said, no, I'm sorry, maybe they did go Broadway. Terry Taylor said 48 minutes in, he was blown up.
He was blown up.
Yeah.
Flair was still going.
Right, Flair wore him out after being out all night in New Orleans.
Flair could talk about Space Mountain all he wanted to, dude, but he fucking lived it.
Yeah, totally.
He was legit. He would show up, do his job. Because he would go 60 minutes with Steamboat,
mm-hmm.
60 minutes with Wyndham.
Yeah.
And he would be hammered the night before.
Yeah.
And he would show up and he would do his job.
He's like a fucking machine, dude.
A professional.
Professional, if you will. Yeah.
A professional wrestler.
Yeah. First time Triple H met him, this was in his Hall of Fame induction speech. He saw, I forget exactly the circumstances, but Ric Flair walked into the hotel bar wearing only socks and a helium balloon tied to his Sullivan.
Oh. He took it like a real man, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he walked into a motel bar with a balloon tied to his dick.
Well, I know my next Halloween costume.
And from that, we got evolution.
Oh, my God.
And he said, here's what Triple H said when he saw that. He said, he thought to himself, every story I've ever heard about this person is true. So while I was researching this, I was listening to Triple H's induction speech and Flair's speech.
Right.
And it was great. And my favorite story from Flair's speech was SummerSlam 92. He was not on the show, but he went to London.
Okay.
After the show, they had an after party. They go out to the bar in London. Flair spent $30,600 on drinks at the bar.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the card except to interfere in the Macho Ultimate Warrior match.
He went there and didn't even get paid. I mean, I guess he would have gotten paid a couple bucks.
Oh, I'm sure he got paid. He was involved in the match still.
But. Okay, yeah, I guess. And it was Wembley, so it was...
But he didn't wrestle.
$30,600. He goes to pay for it, and this was like... Well, he seemed to make it sound like it was early the next morning, but I think bars... it must have been a hotel bar, though, because London's kind of weird. Because the bars in London close at like 10 or 11, but in Soho, they stay open till 1 or 2.
Okay.
But if you stay in a hotel, the bar can stay open all night because it's considered, legally, it's considered a residence, not a, it's weird. It's like weird laws because the first time Chris and I went to London, we drank in the bar till like 4 a.m. and we were like really confused by the rules there. So he probably was at a hotel bar because he said he went to pay the bar tab off in the morning. He was up all night.
Oh.
He said his credit card got declined. He called Arnold Scotland.
Arnold Scotland was still alive in 92?
He was still alive and he was still on the road. He was in London with him.
Holy shit.
And Arnie came down. It must have been the hotel because he came downstairs. He must have come downstairs and he bailed him out, paid the bar tab for him.
How does Arnold Scotland afford a $31,000 bar tab?
Credit card. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what
Scotland.
I don't know what Arnold Scotland did with his money.
I didn't even know that dude was still alive in 92.
He was. Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around him actually having a card with a $32,000 limit on it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So Arnie Scotland had to come bail him out. And
dude, like if you were like Hogan came down to the thing and paid it for him, like that makes sense.
Yeah.
But Scotland?
Right. And what? My favorite part of the story is while he's telling the story during his Hall of Fame speech, Triple H comes back out, comes up to the podium and he says, to this day, we still call doing that naging. And you and I mean, we've been using that term since 2008.
When the first time I heard that.
We say naging all the time. Yeah, we use that all the time.
It's used in reference to drinking.
Yeah.
It's used in reference to buying a drink for someone. It's used in reference to going to the strip club while you're at WrestleMania. Like,
right.
That's naging.
It's always naging. Yeah, we've been saying that ever since we heard that Hall of Fame speech. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a verb.
Yeah. And my favorite Ric Flair drunk story is I don't have confirmation that he was drunk when he did this, but he had to have been drunk. He got drunk and claimed to have banged Halle Berry.
Oh, shit.
Remember that a couple years ago?
No.
Yeah, he claimed to have banged Halle Berry. And Halle Berry's like publicist had to put out a statement, and she doesn't know who Ric Flair is.
Dude, but wait, are we talking like current day Halle Berry? Or are we talking like Operation Swordfish?
It sounded like it was, it sounded like it was years ago, like a long time ago.
Oh, he got good Halle Berry.
Yeah, like he had, like this story, he said this like maybe 4 years ago and it sounded like it had been 15 years ago.
Damn.
Or something like that. Yeah. Right.
Didn't Howard bang her too?
No, you're thinking of Robin Givens.
I am thinking Robin Givens.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for Flair, dude.
Yeah.
That's a solid notch right there.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So that's what I got to say about Ric Flair.
Nation doing some notching. I like that.
Nation. Look it up in the Drunk Wrestling History Dictionary there. But that's our list of...
Drunk Wrestling Histonary.
Yes.
Hysterectomy?
Those are our greatest drunks featured on this episode. Who did we miss from this list? If you know of any, I'm sure there are many stories, confirmed, unconfirmed, that are out there. Or from all that we went over today, what other stories or details do you know of? Just let us know in all the social media platforms. And again, that's wrestling_drunk, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Again, it's more of like an addressing that all these wrestlers have some drunken adventures. And obviously, for those that have taken it too far, always want to make sure that they're in a safe place. They're at least on the road to the right direction to recovery. Making sure that they're getting the support that they need. Eddie doesn't, because we got to have a heel on this show. I mean, that's how it goes. This is all about a wrestling show. I mean, it's called balance. But yeah, that takes care of it. And then also keep leaving those reviews on all the podcast platforms, because we definitely want to hear all the constructive criticisms and how we can improve this show. We made it 1 year, so we're doing something right, but we always strive to make this better. We reached all demographics here. On that note, pretty much celebrating a 1 year anniversary with the Drunk Wrestling Historians, Eddie and Scott. I'm Adam, just reminding you to enjoy your buzz, watch wrestling responsibly, drink like nobody is watching. Still, in the meantime, do wear your masks, wash your hands, and continue to social distance so that we can have more drunken wrestling adventures, head to bars, and start naching. Per se, out in the wrestling world. That's our show. 1, 2, 3, ring the bell.
Cheers. I knew this one girl who really liked wrestling. Yo, we should body slam, she would always text me. She says she likes it hardcore. Baseball bats and barbed wire, thumbtacks that are on fire. Yo, I think something ain't right. She threw me through a table last night. She don't know it ain't real life. But you should see our home movies. They're pretty tight. I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny hoe. She's always laughing. And a middle finger always flashing. I was like, girl, you so stone cold. You Steve Austin, steel cage match in Madison Square Garden. Ding, ding, we're just getting started. Let's get ready to rumble. I can take some bumps, man. I can take some tumbles. But she thinks that every night is like a fucking Royal Rumble. And I start to get a little scared when she grabs a steel chair like she's on the top rope. Girl, how'd you get there? Yo, I think something ain't right. Right? Gave me the people's elbow last night. Bang, bang. She don't know it ain't real life. Hell yeah, that was pretty messed up. I wouldn't let her do that again. I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny hoe. She's always laughing. And a middle finger always flashing. I was like, girl, you so stone cold. You Steve Austin, steel cage match in Madison Square Garden. Ding, ding, we're just getting started. Let's get ready to rumble. Shorty. Friend, we could have a little bout for the tag team championship. An Irish whip to the ropes. I'm bouncing back with a clothesline. Think the belt's mine. Then you drops the leg drop. The Brooke Hogan. A finishing move and a slogan. I'm knocked up. I'm Seth Rogen. What? Man, what you been smoking? I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny hoe. She's always laughing. And a middle finger. Fashion. I was like, girl, you so stone cold. You Steve Austin, steel cage match in Madison Square Garden. Ding, ding, we're just getting started. Let's get ready to rumble. Shorty.